Hello and welcome to the very first Judgmentorial, which is an Ask Me Anything session with myself, Judgment Creator, Andrew Guns. So I've got a ton of questions, so I've actually set up a forum thread early in the week and asked people to post questions. So I've got so many, I'm not sure if I'll get through them in one session. I'm probably going to talk for about an hour, so I'll get as many as I can done in an hour, and then I'll do the rest next week, and as we start getting more coming in. Really looking forward to this. It's going to be great fun. If you are watching the stream, first thing is, big shout out to Dominette, who has been subscribed through Twitch Prime for 9 months. Thank you, Dom. You're a legend. Looking forward to catching up again. I met Dom when I was in the UK last year. Can't wait to meet him again when I get back out there. He was a great guy. It was good fun. Yes, if you're looking through the stream, you'll see we've got the Sculpt of Fazeel, the Sculpt of Shan. And also on the left-hand side where George's head normally is, you can see a picture of a goblin. And one of the questions asked about him, so I will be revealing a bit more about him in the near future in this AMA if I get to the question. But anyway, yep, I might even reveal his name. Maybe. We'll see how we go. Cool. All right. Let's go stick into the questions. One more thing I wanted to say before I get started is that I've got the first production run of Shan on its way from the States. So I will be, doing a special show to unbox her, put her together, and then I should get some stream games in with her on the actual table. Stream schedule has changed. I am unable to do the US friendly streams for a little while now, so we'll probably be reverting back to evenings in Sydney, which is fine because people can watch them later anyway, so it's not too much of a problem. Right, let's get stuck in. So the forums is called forum.judgment.game if you are interested. We have a lot more traffic getting on there now, which is fantastic, and we are going to use it more and more. And for today, I'm going to read through a thread that I did when I asked people to put their questions up. I'm going to pick the best ones from that, and we'll see how we go. So I'm just going to just adjust this a little bit because I just realized that might adjust the camera a little bit because the white screen. Okay, so I'll flip back to the live stream at the same time. So if people do want to post questions on the live stream, I will answer them as well while I'm going. Otherwise, I'll just go through the ones that were pre-baked in the AMA thread. Here we go. Right, so question one is, the guard dog has asked the real question we all need answered: when can I expect to be able to bring a full warband of 7 Minotaurs? This is quite a good question. It's a good one to kick off with. For those who don't know, we have 5 Minotaurs in the game at the moment. Most other races have 6 or 7, which are close. Some have 7. So, yeah, it's interesting. I can say, so the answer for this one is, I don't know when you'll be able to have 7 because we don't have 2 Minotaurs planned in the near future. However, we do have one that is will be next year in 2020, and it actually has been, there's a like a hidden Easter egg in one of the most recent Origins Origin stories that went up, the one by Colin Hill. So on that one, there's a bit of a hint what's coming. And I can tell you that we will have a Minotaur model, and all I'm going to say is it might not necessarily be a Minotaur race. So we'll leave it at that. But when you'll have 7, I can't answer that at the moment, but I can tell you there'll be the 6th one next year. What is the race and class of the next hero that is going to be announced? Interesting one. So there is a hint. We've actually got, we've revealed Fazeel, Jaeger, obviously, and Shan. So Jaeger's up for pre-sale already. Shan is going to be at pre-sale at Gen Con, which is August the 1st. We are going to be releasing the rules. So Fazeel's already been done. Now, Fazeel's going to be available for purchase at Warfare Weekend, along with Dorgar Khan, the demon. So that's pretty much seen us out to the rest of the year in terms of available sculpts. Now, in terms of rules, we are going to release 2 more hero rules before the end of the year. One will be released at Gen Con, and that is the little guy to my that side, that side, if you're looking at the stream. And so the next hero that we will announce the rules for will be a goblin, pretty sure. I can tell you the next two will be a goblin and then a human. So they're the next two on the agenda. But I'm pretty sure the goblin one will be next. However, there is a massive twist with the goblin hero that I'm not going to reveal here, but it is not what you expect. So that's going to be that one. So Dominette's asked, pseudo Minotaur like Skull is a pseudo orc. I don't mean that. It'll look like a Minotaur. That's what I can say. Cool. All right. Now, that was good. So that's first two questions. So Mad Dasher, so Cherry Caveman is the one that asked about the race and class of the next hero. So this one's from Mad Dasher. Is it more likely that you will release completely new maps and scenarios or rework existing ones, i.e. can we expect a 5v5 rework of the swamp? The next 5v5, I'm almost certain, will be a swamp version in the big version of the swamp map. We love the illustration, we love the map. So what we'll do is we'll expand it out to the bigger size. Now, the current terrain on that map will just get redone, revamped, but we will have similar elements. So whatever you're expecting to see in the swamp, we will have a bigger version of the swamp. I'm pretty sure it's going to be our 5v5, and that'll be the one that we'll bring out next year. And then another one from Mad Dasher is, will Judgment ever dip its toe into differently sized bases for heroes? Just going to make the first question for a second about the scenarios and maps. The cobblestone one's interesting. I don't mind having a 5v5 map out there that doesn't have pre-baked terrain on it. It's probably going to be one that we'll just leave to be just people can do what they want on it. Not sure about that. I wouldn't mind releasing one with the exact same scenarios where you just have terrain baked on it. So we possibly could do that as well. So the two things we possibly might do is bring out the cobblestone with pre-baked terrain on it, or we will just bring out the swamp map, a bigger version of the swamp map, which is probably what we're going to be doing. Right, question two from Mad Dasher. Will Judgment ever dip its toe into differently sized bases for heroes? Victor being the precedent here, especially large sized bases for the aforementioned Griffin Rider. Right, so yes. Now, Goblin Infantry are all on 40 mil bases, the same as Victor is. So that's the first thing. The reason why that Jaeger isn't, because he's a mountain model, so he's on the bigger base size. But yeah, now we have toyed with 55 and 60 millimeter bases. One of the things that's a bit of a negative about that is they don't work well on the 3v3 maps. It's not a showstopper. We have always said that we want every hero to be available on both maps. Now, we do try to balance them. Now, as people are finding out, some heroes are better on the smaller maps than they are on the bigger maps. That's just going to happen. We're not going to be able to make them all the same strength. What we do always try to say is they're both viable. You can play your heroes in either size of the game. Now, with the 55 mil and 60 mil, it feels like it's not much difference, but we have meticulously measured a lot of the terrain, and in the 3v3 maps, there's some areas where the 60 mil or the 50 mil, first of all, they find it really hard to deploy, for starters. So if we did do a bigger one, I'm not saying we won't do it. We have tested this in the past to have bigger bases. I'm just saying if we do, it's possible that the heroes won't be eligible for the small maps. So not ruling it out. Like, we have a joke going around that Cheddar keeps asking about a Griffin Rider, and Jeff and I would love to do stuff like that. However, we've got to be mindful of the size of the bases. There is long-term roadmaps for Judgment to have different forms, so like a different edition of the game, and it's possible that that's where that kind of stuff could really become to the fore, but that's a while down the track. So potentially, yes, next year we could look at doing a big one, but it's also rules like the mountain rules we brought in work. They're pretty simple, but they're effective. There's an obvious difference between a mountain model and a not mountain model. But if we started going things like Griffin's Riders, we'd be in the area of, we don't have a point system in our game, right? So on theory, all the heroes are balanced enough that they're all even, and we pretty much, that's pretty good. You're going to have some are stronger than others. That's what pick and ban is for, and it's just natural that some heroes are going to be slightly stronger than others. But in certain situations, any hero can be used, and all the tournament data we've got, we get large spreads of heroes get fielded in tournaments. Like out of the 28 heroes, you'd get 24 regularly appearing in small tournaments of eight people and stuff. So I think we've done that pretty well. But if we started going to Griffin Riders, I think you'll be pretty much in the realm of, if you wanted to do a Griffin Rider properly, it's hard to imagine that being balanced against, I don't know, like a guy on foot, like a Bastion or. So there's a lot of complications around doing things like that. So at the moment, we're not close. The next bunch of heroes are not going to be bigger than 50 mil, and they're not going to be a Griffin Rider, but it's something that we'd like to do. But we need to really be carefully think about it. I think, not going to talk about it too much, but when I was playing War Machine, I was there the day the Colossals got released, and for me, I don't think the game ever fully recovered from Colossals getting released. I know it could be controversial, but that was around the time where I started to die off from the game, and I never really came back. So I just think they need to be careful with that kind of stuff, that's all. Right, James243 has asked, any chance of more sculpts for Zarin Skeletons? Definitely. Now, this is something we're definitely going to be doing. Now, one of the things we want to do is do a proper Skeleton Warrior, and potentially, not potentially, at some stage, he will double up as a monster, similar to Dorga Khan. We're not going to do that for all monsters. We like having unique monsters, and we love doing unique monster sculpts and that kind of thing. But where we think it's practical, the origin stories and the fluff all point towards the rise of the undead. Fazil has just come into the game. In the future, we've talked about Nefeni being part of a crack police force that hunts down undead who've infiltrated society. The end game of the Judgment Universe is like a showdown between elves and undead. So for us, it's like, I think that having undead monsters in the game is definitely on the cards. And if we've got a good skeleton sculpt that we're going to bring out, it'll be worth making that a monster as well. So the answer is yes, and I'd like to do that next year if we get the chance, depending on our momentum. James243 asked another question. I recall reading that at some point that Zarin will become a lich, and I assume that means a new model. If that's the case, how you handle model generations of the same hero, given the theme of the game, the Shadow Plane, I think it'll be fine. Cool even to have different generations of the same character fight alongside, against, or alongside each other, and not restricting different generations of characters. So this is a really good question. So when we first designed the game, I have been quoted as saying, I don't want to go down the Haley 1, Haley 2, Haley 3, Kane 1, that sort of track. I think for War Machine, it didn't really, there's no explanation how that was happening, right? I don't, unless it was very loose, I don't, I it did, there's no explanation why you could have two guys from two different time zones fighting against each other. Or now Judgment actually is the one game I know that definitely has that. You definitely can do that because we have people coming from thousands of years in the future to fight on the Shadow Plane. So 100%, it's possible. Now, the difference is that the way I would not do it was if I had no origins reason, there was no fluff reason for that to happen. Like, okay, let's look at the characters that it's not really viable, right? So if you say a Marcus. Marcus is a human, he's immortal, he's on the Shadow Plane. Sorry, he's on Athian. I wouldn't have a Marcus when he's 50 years old and a Marcus when he's 30 years old. I just wouldn't do that, like a veteran Marcus. But for the ones that have time traveled, like Alan Dear and Laurie Bella, they're World War I models, but they were actually from the main timeline, and got warped when they got thrown out of the Shadow Plane, and somehow ended up hundreds of years or 500 years in the future. So they're good examples where we could do it. We could have a non-Alan Dear and a standard fantasy Alan Dear and a fantasy Laurie Bella. We could do Styx is obviously one that's lived for 1,000 years because he wasn't a cyborg at start. He was an Undertaker's assistant, which is Zarin. So he'd be one that we could do the non-cyborg version of Styx. Zarin obviously is one that we could bring a lich. Now, I'd almost be saying with some certainty that a lich undead version of Zarin will be coming out at some stage. And the way that the game is written, there is 100% viable that they both get summoned to the Shadow Plane at the same time, where time has no meaning as we know it. So the answer is yes. But Origins and the fluff of the game have always been extremely important for us, and we would not do it unless we had a very valid reason to do so. Now, we've got the power to go, here's a story, in the last fight, Zonya got thrown into a different timeline, and here she is. We wouldn't do that. We would let the origin story roll out and do its course, and then pick the heroes where we thought, yeah, this would be a good one to do. Zarin is an obvious one. I think Styx is too, but so, yeah. Answers, yes, it's a really good question. James243 has got some good questions, and that was a great one. And I would very much love to do that. Now, we know that Zarin the Lich is at the end game of the Judgment Universe, so it would be something we'll look at in the future, but I would love to do that, and I am definitely keen. So, yes, let me just flip over to the... Hey, Kyriakos got his Scorched Earth map. That's fantastic. Well done. So everyone in the UU must be getting them by now, which is great. I hope you haven't missed too much, Kyriakos, but I have revealed a few interesting things for the future already. If not, you can watch it a bit later. Right. So, Cheddar Caveman, there has been some talk of doing shrine models for Judgment in the past. As well as effigies and souls. This seems even more important, potentially with Eldir Terror being something that is moving about the table. What's your status on things like this? So, we are... Terror has advanced our thinking about doing these effigies and shrines. At this point in time, so we've got Fazil, Dorga Khan, Jaeger, and Shan getting released as physical models this year. I would like to have... the shrines and Terror done. I'd like to have them done for Adepticon next year. I think we're going to slot them in before the next hero. And this is not something that... I think the most important ones to do, I think, really, are the character ones. But if we're going to do them, we might as well do... The only problem is, you have to understand, this is like... So there's 4 character shrines plus Terror's 5, plus a generic one, and then a generic shine, epigenetic shine. You're looking at, what's that, 5, 6, 7, 6, it's 7 models. That's really big, expensive for us. So it's possible we might stagger it. I'm going to have to. Like, we can't afford to bring out 7 models at one go. The production costs for doing all the sculpts and everything would be too prohibitive for us. So at this point in time, so I'm thinking what we would do is bring out Terror and the Fire one, the Earth and Terror as a set. That will cover the Scorched Earth map up. Now, when we then do the Swamp map in big version, that could be the catalyst to bring out the Water and the Air Shrines. So Eldir and, what's the other one? Arden. So, yeah, I think that's what we'll do, Cheddar. I think we'd bring out, so early next year, we'll bring out the Eldir and Foreign Shrines, Earth and Fire plus the Terror model. And then coinciding with the launch of our big swamp map, we would have the air and Welland, Arden and Welland shrines. That's how I think we'd do it. As for generic ones, it's probably not, you know, we probably could do that at some stage, but I think the character ones are more. I quite like the fact people make their own generic ones, but I can see that it'd be good for us to do at some stage, but it's just production wise. And each time we bring one of those out, we're not bringing out a hero. So that's the kind of thing we have to consider. But yeah, that's a good question. Cool. So KC, I'm not sure that's Kyriakos, maybe it is. KC has asked the following. When will you be looking to do something in the UK or come to a UK event? I would be disappointed if we didn't make a trip to the UK in 2020. Yeah. So obviously the EU and UK has been a bit slower for us, just resource-wise. The models are for sale. We have a deal with Firestorm Games. We do ship from within the EU, but We just don't have the focus, the resources to be pushing it too much at the moment, unfortunately. We would love to do something next year with that. We're about to announce something very big in North America, like a partnership of sorts that's going to really see our presence at conventions increase. Now, if that goes well, which I'm sure it will, it'll give us, maybe free us up to then for Jeff and I to look a bit more at focusing at EU, but the UK, but we'll see how that goes. So KC, thanks for that question. That's me, Kyriakos. How are you going? So LOS Jaden, this is the line of sight, I think his website's called Jaden, has asked for a dragon model. Please see my previous answer about the Griffin. So never, not saying never, but won't be anytime soon due to those same restrictions. Question two, do you feel that enough play time you can sort of algorithmize the approach to each scenario? I've played a lot in the third cobblestone map lately and have figured out a sort of optimal approach to the map that feels very strong. Are there others that you feel able to make an approach that is clearly best, or does it vary too much with warband composition? I actually personally believe it varies too much with warband composition. If you pick the same warband every time, you still have your opponents banning different models, which could throw a curveball for your perfect opening. If you had enough redundancy that your perfect opening would still work regardless of who they ban, then you need to roll for table side. Like, you might not get the same side if the sides were exactly the same. Which the cobblestone, a lot of them are. I think most of them might be. So in that instance, yeah, it's possible, but then you get your opponent doing weird things. Like, if your optimal thing is to kill a monster, they could use sticks to switch it out, you know, astral split it out straight away, or I don't know. I think there's a lot of variety to say that with any certainty you're going to be able to do the same thing all the time. Even in like League of Legends, and I always go back to the MOBAs because we really have captured the way the MOBAs work. Those maps almost never change. They change so seldomly, and there's different openings all the time. So yeah, your opponent can invade your jungle. Like, it's difficult. So I don't think so, but yeah, you'll see how it goes. I think as the game matures, we might see better combinations, but we patch the game every 3 months. Like, and this patch coming out in a couple of weeks is quite a big one. There's big changes, and it's just how it works. Like, the MOBAs patch their heroes and they go in and out of cycle. We're going to do the same. We're not going to do it for the sake of it, but even the patches are going to change the way that your opening will work. So yeah. Nightflyer, are there any plans to release origin stories for the characters that don't have any, particularly Svetlana and Sky? Both are lacking. Yes, our long term, well, we want to have stories for everything. And, you know, like, Colin Hill and I are very passionate about the origins. We both have aspirations to write short stories or novels in the future. So about the Judgment universe, I've got visions, goals of doing comic strips as well. Like, I'm really looking forward to that. We both really enjoy it. At the moment, it's just time. We both have full-time jobs other than Judgment. So it's just when we do it, when we can, when we get enough inspiration. I find personally it's very difficult for me to force an origin story, where sometimes I just flow. Like, the whole origin story about Styx and Nefeni in the future, that just came out, to just flowed out, and I had an inspirational couple of days or weeks. So yeah, I've got a couple of stories on the boil at the moment, and we will have stories for everything eventually. Yep. Clockwork Jester, don't suppose any teasers for stuff you're looking forward for the game. I've got one. Teaser wise. Okay, let's have a think about this. So I'm looking forward to, we brought undead and goblins into the world. They were two things I really was looking forward to doing pretty early on. We have introduced mountain models, which I'm really happy with. We've introduced now. There is another unit type that I am very keen to look at and explore, and that is the concept of a hero unit. So we have heroes that summon models, but there's a very, very clear distinction where you know which is the summoner and which is the summon. So the summon models are vastly stripped back their rules compared to what the summoner can do. But I have developed rules a long time ago to have hero unit, or a concept of that, which will open up a lot of fantastic opportunities in the game to do fantastic models, like a hunter with a pack of wolves, not necessarily summoned. So there's different rules for the way this would work. Also, you know, there's different things we could do. So these are the kind of thing we're trying to expand, and that's something I'm looking forward to. That also gives you a teaser of what could happen in the future, possibly. I also touched on a bit earlier, long-term roadmap is to, like, another edition of the game where the current heroes and models would port across to it, but there'll be additional things. It'll be like a different kind of game, so which might let us bring in bigger models. So there's that kind of thing as well that I'd really love to get to at some stage. Wanky Kong, or I don't know how to say his name. It's like that, Wanky Kong, maybe with a V. Are there any plans for heroes that do summons besides Victor? Saying things like Rexar with his bear. Right, I've just touched on that. 100% yes. So the current summoning rules let us do lots of cool things. So definitely, I think the fact that we're getting the summoned... Victor summoning Dorgakhan was a big test for us to see whether we could have a hero that could feasibly summon a powerful being but still be balanced. I think we've done that. We've had to nerf a few things here and there, but it seems to work. So a hunter in like a WoW sense, World of Warcraft, definitely would be keen to do something like that where you've got a pet that you can summon. You know, like Elf summoning a fiery dragon, you know, a little mini dragon or things like that, definitely is something we want to look at. So that would be something. But also the hero unit concept could extend that even further still. The other thing I want to touch on that's a possible teaser, it comes up a lot in Discord. We had a female druid that turned into a bear. It was a two model set. That's another thing. As we get bigger, I'd really like to get into again. I love that kind of that concept. The one thing we need to be conscious of is never leaving behind the early heroes. I think we've done a fantastic job of that. All the really early heroes are still very viable. Our quarterly patch system maintains the fact that we keep things viable. So yeah, I think that's expanding into a lot of heroes summoning things, and this hero unit idea is something we definitely are keen to do. So is it true, this is a question from Joffrey Bieber on stream, is it true that Victor got nerfed because Jeff is jealous of how tall he is? That is definitely one of the contributing factors to Victor getting nerfed. So yeah, Jeffrey's very conscious of the fact that Victor is taller than him in real life. Cool. All right. We're good. I'm going good here, getting through some of the questions. That's great. Let me have a quick drink. Hope you're enjoying it. This is quite fun. It's good interaction with the community. I'm really hoping to do this semi-regularly, which would be great. I will be streaming the patch notes soon. The patch notes get released in about 10 days, 9 days. That will be, so we release them 2 weeks before they're live. They go live on July the 1st. So we'll release them around the 15th of June. So they're pretty much locked in. I'm just getting everything finalized, and the playtesters are just making sure everything looks good. And then we'll release those. So that'll be probably the next, I'll do that stream in about 9 days, and I'll hopefully stream a game between now and then. Cheddar Caveman, a lot of questions. What was the story behind the reason that the focus of the game shifted from fantasy only to add in other time periods? Are there any other types of time periods that have been considered? Cool. Excellent question. So I talk about this being, Judgment being a origins and fluff story driven narrative game. And that was how the concept came about. There's a couple of things in my head when I originally was doing this. It was MOBA based. I knew the fantasy genre better than any other genre. I've played Warhammer Fantasy over 40k, for example. Even when I played War Machine, I did play Signar, but my favorite was the Trolls. I liked the fantasy aspect more than the mechanical or steampunk aspect. So it was just Dungeons and Dragons. I've always been in the fantasy. So it was a best place to start. But I always had a vision of using different time periods. I love with League of Legends where you'll have someone, you know, Lucian shooting guns, fighting Darius who's got a big axe, and it works. I think the whole nerd genre has changed a lot over the years. There was a very clear, in the 90s and even 80s, there was a very clear distinction between fantasy and non-fantasy. It was, And it was like a religious thing where you'd be in one camp or the other and you wouldn't mix it together. You had like, there were things like with Star Wars, that's a kind of mix between fantasy and sci-fi, where you have the main protagonist using swords, laser swords, but they're still swords. So that has been around, but it didn't really take hold. And then it became more and more prominent. I think anyone who's younger than, say, 25 or 30, let's just say 30, maybe even, the millennials, say 84, so anyone who's maybe 35 or lower would have been brought up on the fact that games just mix things together. And these days, it's just totally accepted. That's just how it is. I mean, all the MOBAs do it. You know, even like Overwatch has got that aspect of guns and swords, and then you've got space people like Tracer or something. So I think it's accepted. So it was always going to be the case. When some of the early people involved in Judgment were a bit fairly, not a bit, they were pretty reluctant to do this. They felt that the miniature gaming scene still had that clear delineation between fantasy and sci-fi. I beg to differ. I think War Machine's actually a mixture of both. Especially the I've even forgotten what they call the elves in War Machine, but they're really spacey, where then you've got, you know, trolls. So I think that's one that's mixed it. Steampunk kind of has always been seen as the mixture between sci-fi and fantasy, but we've taken it to a level where they're obviously from different timelines. When we first released the space, I think the first space model we released was Nephany. Trying to think now, maybe Mephany and Sky, not sure. And we had a fairly negative reaction from a lot of the old school players that were saying, "Oh, I'm never going to play the future heroes." That even that shifted in the 12 months, I think 18 months. We've had everyone's pretty much just is used to it and loves it that we've got these different models. The World War II one was interesting. We wanted to pick something in between. We quite liked the idea of there's a bit of inspiration around with some of the 40k orcs, where they kind of have guns and, you know, shotguns, and they're kind of in that mixture between that fantasy and sci-fi. And I don't know, that was sort of what bought it. And then things like, you know, we had Alan Deere with his Rambo's look and his explosive arrows and, you know, that kind of thing. And then Kogan's one of my favorite models the entire game. So him having a shotgun and a bandsaw is just brilliant. So now, if there's anything else that we would consider, there has been some consideration about Wild West type theme, gunslingers and things like that. There's an Oriental Asian genre that we might consider as well with samurais and stuff. But there's no concrete plans at the moment. To be honest with you, it'll probably be driven by a cool model. I have got rules for a pretty cool gunslinger that I wouldn't mind at some stage looking at, but yeah, there's probably stuff we want to do in the existing genres first, to be honest. The origin story, the future of the origin, so the sci-fi timeline and the historical time, the current timeline are really well fleshed out. The World War II timeline is a little bit. We've got a story with Kogan fighting in a World War II trench warfare type scene. We've got the Alan Deere, Laurie Bella thing that we've touched on. There's a lot more that we could explore in that genre. A lot of cool things. I mean, just the other day I watched Captain America and I was looking at him fighting in World War II and then, you know, fighting in the future in space. So that was pretty cool. There's a lot of things we can explore before we look at other timelines, to be honest. But if the game gets big enough, yeah, I'm not going to say no. Another one from Cheddar Caveman. Where in development did Cassio and Eredith end up? I especially love the concept of Eredith and would love to see the model return. Yep. So those who don't know and those who were involved in the very early Kickstarter, Cassio was a monk, an aggressor, that we kind of stole some of his stuff and made him Sky. He went from a human aggressor to an elf defender. He was a brilliant, brilliant model. He was fully developed. He just didn't get unlocked in wave one, and then we wanted to balance things out in terms of classes and races. He got switched. Eredith was the aforementioned human druid that turned into a bear. She mainly got dropped because we thought bringing out a double 54mm model to the market, where it's going to be super expensive, like $100 US, we were thinking, we're pretty much getting a fair bit of, we got a bit of jive for the cost of our models until people realized how good they were in quality and how big they were on the table. And then we've a lot more acceptance. So I think now that the market's matured, our player base has matured, bringing out a double model hero is definitely something we can do. And I'd love to bring Aerith back and turn into a bear. It was one of my favorite models, heroes at the time. So that's a good chance of that happening too. All right. How are we going? Oh, wait, is there any questions? I sucked at League of Legends for many years. I'm in silver, I think, 3 this year. I'm going to make gold for the first time. So, yep, still suck, but not as bad. Kyriakos is sticking up for Jeff. He takes too much stick. As a bald man myself, I hereby swear to defend Jeff against all remark. Kyriakos is a boxing trainer, so a professional boxing trainer, so I'd be pretty scared. Yep, cool. Great comment, the divide between fantasy and sci-fi, thank you. And Age of Sigmar, yes, Joffrey, these days, it's pretty much, they're sort of breaching GW, pretty much merging 40k, and definitely the rule set between fantasy and 40k. And Dominic, yeah, Star Wars is not science fiction, it's science fantasy. I 100% agree with that. And I think that being one of the most popular and most endearing and most enduring franchises, I guess, of all time is testament to the fact that works. I think it appeals to a broader audience. And I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe has done that so well, so brilliantly, combining space things with steampunk things with fantasy elements as well. Like, for all intents and purposes, Thor is just a fantasy warrior that wields a massive magical hammer. You've got, there's just so much that Black Widow, so I think, I think that's the way it is these days. And I'm really happy that Judgment is slap bang in the middle of that genre. Right, so Cheddar came in again. It's a good guy, Cheddar. Another question. With goblins and undead making their way into the Shadow Plane, will we see other races? I can definitely imagine gnomes from fantasy, or perhaps a unique race from the future, say like Zerg or Protoss from StarCraft. Yes, okay. So as for fantasy races, I don't have any concrete plans to bring any new ones in. You hit the nail on the head about the future. So what we don't have much of not every game has to. We have a lot of unique IP, but obviously all our races and classes are things that people have either seen before or they're around, or, there's nothing new. We would love, and we have plans to bring a futuristic race introduced into the game. That would probably be the next way we'd go. In saying that, we have a lot of work to flesh out the races that we've got. We've got one goblin, we've got one undead at the moment. We'd like to get at least to 5 of each. We don't want to make the next 10 releases all goblins and undead, so we still want to bring out other races, so it'll take a while to fill everything out. I've already mentioned that the next two races are goblins and human. After Fazil and Shan and Jaeger. So, and then the one after that, we'll be looking to bring another undead in at some stage pretty early, I think. So, I don't think it'll be next year. It'll probably be 2021 where we do a new race. And by then, if the game's really big, which I'm sure it's going to be, I actually am very confident it's going to be, and we're a company that's got a lot more resources, we could bring out a couple of heroes of the same race in one go to kick it off, that kind of thing. So, yeah. All right. So someone, Nightfly, is asking the same question about alternate sculpts of characters in different timelines. Yes, we're doing that. So that's something that we're going to be looking at. Definitely. Now, will there be monsters of different timelines? How do you design a new concept for a monster? No monsters at Core Stun at the moment. Is that something for the future? This is from KC, Kyriakos. Yes, so it's a really good one. I think it's about time we had a future monster. I have got penciled rules, like draft rules, for a really cool and very different futuristic monster, like a hive mind type thing. So it's possible, not possible, it's probable that will happen. We Dorgkhan's come out now. I think the next time we bring a new monster out will be the next map, which will more than likely be the Swamp 5v5 version. So yeah, potentially, yeah, that's when we'll bring a new monster out, and there's a good chance that monster could be a from the future. And yeah, monster causes stun. Yeah, we like the monsters to deal all the kinds of different conditions. So stuns we haven't done. Yep, that's possible as well. So Zeter has asked, you guys like to pull a lot of ideas, different genres and stuff. Have there been any thought to adding a Wild West themed? Yes, I answered that earlier. So potentially yes, but we have a lot of work to do with our three current timelines. But Wild West is one of the main ones that we've considered in the past. So yes, I love the Wild West. It'll be great to introduce it into the game. So possible, yes. Are there any areas or subcultures in the world we haven't seen yet? So in Athen, there's a lot that we haven't seen. Like there are all types of fantasy monsters and races on Athen. There's trolls, for example. There's ogres. There's giants. There are a lot of races, subcultures and races. We are going to flesh out Athen a bit more. I don't want to give too much away, but the battles of the current edition of Judgment are on the Shadow Plane. It's quite possible that the next edition of Judgment, the battles won't be on the Shadow Plane. They'll be on Athen. So yeah, there's something for you there. But even our Colin Hill's most recent origin story talked about the race of this, I forget what were the names again, Sitar. I forget the name, but yeah, they were like a insect race. So that was something we introduced that are on Athen. Yeah, so there you go. On average, how much time do you put in developing and testing new heroes? A hell of a lot of time. So this is how it normally works. I have a backlog of hero abilities. Whenever I get inspiration, reading a book, playing D&D, playing a MOBA, watching a movie, could come from anywhere. I will open my phone up, get my notes, and just go, this would be a good ability, and see whether we can port it at the table. So that's step one, is getting this bunch of abilities. And then step two is getting inspiration for heroes. So heroes originally were just like, let's do this hero, this would be cool. Now we're dictated a bit more by balancing the different races, making sure there's enough variety in each race, because people do like to, they are drawn to certain races. And then there's also classes. So we could think, okay, we don't really have enough soul gazers or defenders. Let's think of a defender. Shan was that kind of one where I felt we had a need for a new defender. We like to have unique abilities, and then, you know, the whole thing that she gives cover was cool. Making her an orc was great. We need another orc in the game. Another female orc was also good. The female orcs are quite good. I mean, Zonya's fantastic in our game. So we wanted to extend on that a bit more. First thing is, I've got a whole bunch of hero abilities sitting there like a backlog. I'll have regular chats with Jeff about the game, and we'll have like a bit of a chat and inspiration session where we might come up with some ideas. We'll jot them down. Then we decide, okay, let's do a hero. Now, what normally happens is we'll throw together a hero with no levels, so just level one, and some basic abilities, and we play with that. We do that a little bit. We then try to flesh them out. And that using the hero will give us an indication of what should we do for level two, what would be cool for level three. It's often good to see it on the table before you lock those things in, because we always want to have level two and three as just extending the same theme of the hero as it gets levels. So, and then we'll do a lot of games. So Jeff and I pretty much never play standard games of Judgment. Every game we play, we're trying new heroes. We proxy all the time. It's only when we're streaming and we don't want to give something away where we will do that. But we regularly play things like the vast majority of our games are with all future shit all the time, future stuff. So
we're pretty much doing that constantly. We've got four other play testers, two from North America and two from Australia, that regularly play test with us. We've got a hidden forum, a private forum where we constantly talk pretty much daily on different things. I'm the main driver of all of this, I guess. Jeff and I are the designers of the game, so we come up with all the ideas. We do get suggestions from people. I've taken suggestions from Discord before, or from the playtesters, which are becoming very good sources of cool stuff. And then, but because I created the game and the core framework and I wrote all that, I tend to be the person that puts that together. So there's, or either Jeff would send me a very solid draft of a hero, and then I might just take that and put my template from my head onto it and get it to work. I don't know whether every game designer does this, but because I designed the game from the ground up completely, I have a very good ability to get the heroes to work pretty quick. It's very rare that we bring a hero over playtest that's a nightmare. They always are in pretty good shape. So, yeah, and then we just test it to death. And then even once it's out, more recently we've been releasing some of the stuff even before it's official and people have been playing it, so we get a bit of an open playtest with it. So, but we have very good playtesters, so that's the key. I think as we get bigger, we'll probably have to do that more as well. Here's a question from the stream, some live, from Kyriakos. One of the biggest arguments I have with others is the price of the models. Have you considered doing bundles with models or maps to tempt people? This could help with monster models, where I'm sure most people would spend their money on a hero rather than a model. So it's interesting. So our biggest thing about that is the starter box. You get two models and a monster for basically the price of two models, I think. Plus you get the board and tokens and everything to play the game. Now, the problem with that is you get the same two heroes in the starter box all the time. That's a negative, I guess. In terms of monsters, every time we go to a convention, we do a deal where if you buy three heroes in the starter box, you get a free monster, or five heroes, you get a free monster. So I know that's still a big outlay, but if you're going to get into the game, you buy your five models, you get a free monster. So if you do a starter box and three heroes, you're going to get five heroes, Gloom, plus a free monster as well. So you get an Ashtooth or a Vajasha. We pretty much do that constantly at every con. We're doing it at Gen Con again. So that's something that we try to do. We have thought of bundles. The only issue with us as we get more and more stores stocking Judgment is that we're not allowed to discount. So we're allowed to do show deals at conventions. So if we did a bundle deal, we'd have to offer that bundle deal to our retailers. It's still possible, and yes, it is something we're looking at to try to lower the barrier of entry. But to be honest with you, we have pitched the game at a certain gamer, and it's gamers who appreciate beautiful models, and we want to try to stick to our guns. That's what makes the game great. It's what attracts a lot of people, and we believe over time that we will be able to get enough people to play it and willing to, because the game's great as well. So there's a lot of good aspects. We fully acknowledge that the price point per model is not cheap. The price point to get to the game is actually quite cheap compared to most other games, but the price point per model is not that cheap. But that's just at the moment, that's how it is. If we get bigger and we're able to order bigger volumes, there are always chances that the model prices could come down. But yeah, we're not at that point yet with the scale. Right, so here's another one from LOS Jaden. I have a friend who's waiting to buy in until there is a samurai or Shaolin style monk. Eastern looks are actually very absent from Judgment Universe. So I did mention that in this cast that yes, there's two genres that are being considered. One of them is the Wild West. The other one is an Eastern Asian genre. Now we could release a model that was we've got a monk in the game, but it's a futuristic monk, so we could release one. Cassio is the one model that was a very Eastern feel, and I think that's something we could do as well. So, that's something we can have a look at. So this is from KC Kyriakos. How much playtesting is done in relation to old heroes versus via new heroes and or maps? Some products were released before others that were revealed earlier and are not released. Is this due to playtesting still going on? Terra, for example. Yes, so we do an enormous amount of testing old heroes to new. Our number one mantra is that old models will never be left behind. So there's a lot of times with Jeff and I, we did it fairly recently. I used five of the new heroes. So I used Shan, Fazil, Jaeger, and the two ones we haven't revealed yet. I used all those five, and Jeff picked five pretty much wave one models, and we played a series of games. So it's very important for us to make sure that that remains balanced. We do a lot of testing on that, particularly when the maps come out. Scorched Earth was a big one for us. There's so many elements that took us a long time to test everything. We think we got it right. A lot of testing with old heroes. Kyriakos, KC. That's good. All right, now, Night Flyer. Are there any nations in the various time eras outside of just the races? It came to mind when I was thinking about how in the future Minotaurs are loose as shock troops, which implies a military. However, it sounds like elves are pretty much in charge of everything. Yes, so the Minotaurs as shock troops, I think that might have been the World War II genre with... might have been the future one. So there are races... like we touched on one with the insect race that's not in the game, but it was in the last Origin story with Don Raka and his daughter. So there are other races we haven't touched on. Goblins are one we've recently introduced. There are things like gnomes and ogres and trolls and everything in a thin. It's a typical fantasy setting. There are dragons. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this, but in the original Marcus illustration, there is a dragon silhouetted in the sky on the outside. We have the bone skeleton of a dragon on the cobblestone map as well. There are other things in there. We are going to flesh out the origin story more to tell you what happens with the other races. It is true in the future that the elves and undead are the two dominant races. Now, but that's not to say that the races aren't there. So it's just our timeline is focusing on that part. When we say the elves are dominant, they don't control the whole of the Athean. Like, there's areas where their touch is just minor. So it's just in the main timeline and the main areas we would deal with, that's where they are. Here's one from Dominette. Cool. This was just 2 hours ago. What comes first for you when designing a hero? Do you create the concept before the rules and make it fit? Or do you create an interesting hero based on the rules and then work the concept to fit what is established? Answer is both. I'll try to think of some specific examples. So things like, I'm just looking over in the cabinet right now. Piper was a concept first. He was an illusionist character that Jeffrey used in D&D for years. So with Piper, the first things that went down was elf, illusionist, mirror image. We started with that. So some of his rules were already there. We had the concept of him being an illusionist thief, so it was backstab and mirror image were the two things we wanted to bring in. We brought them in through duplicate self for mirror image, and then backstab became the +1 damage when you're fighting with a friend. That's how we simulated it, because we don't have rear arcs and front arcs in the game, which is quite cool. So he was one that was first, it was a concept with a few rules, and then we fleshed it out. Jaeger, I wanted to have a mounted goblin. That was my starting point. That's all I had, mounted goblin. And then he came from there. So he's another concept first, rules later. But then we had things like the Monster Slayer and Brock. So we had a lot of rules for that one first. And we afterwards just decided to make it a dwarf and make it a berserker. So a bit like a slayer. That was the idea with that one. So he was probably the other way around. We tend to do that. Haxar is an interesting one. So this is the third element to this, is that sometimes we would have the hero, but the actual pose is right at the end. So Haxar was one that I tried to take a photo of myself. I've done that before. I did Thorgar. I sent a photo of myself doing the charge with his hand on the ground to the illustrator to try to capture that moment. With Haxar, I couldn't do that. I'm not a pole dancer. I think the illustration or the image in my head was of the dude in The Lion King, the monkey in The Lion King. He tends to have his pole. I think in one of the scenes he's standing on it or something. And I think that's the kind of vision we had for him. So where Rakir... So Rakir was the first ever model we had. So he was an orc road. I wanted to do an orc road. We walked backwards from there. The thing about Haxar was that he... So where Rakir is bulky, Haxar was pretty much, and so was Cruel, was modelled on the more troll look of World of Warcraft, where you've got this sort of lanky sort of thing where they're not. And from day one, one of the things that happens in a lot of games, miniature games, is all dwarves are identical. Same height, same fat, always fat, same with beards, some slight different things, but they look identical. Where in real life, that's not the case. So you've got 5'2" males and you've got 6'7" males. They're both humans. They're both perfectly healthy. They're both capable of doing everything. They're just different. So we wanted to do that with ours. There's no reason why every orc or every dwarf has to be exactly the same height and the same. And we've done that on purpose. And in fact, with our Minotaurs, you notice there's some subtle differences there where I think Donraka has the extra joint in his leg like a horse, where Thorgar doesn't. So they're different species of Minotaur in the same world, and the orcs are the same. So you've got big, tough, like broad guys like Rakir, and also Shan, but you've got lanky guys like Cruel and Haxar. So I hope that answers your question. But yeah, we get inspiration from all types of different areas. Sometimes we'll have an idea and they'll work backwards to make rules for it. Sometimes we have rules. And I mentioned before, I've got this backlog of hero abilities, so I would often scan that and go, right, I want that to be in the game, let's build a character around this, and then the race and class might come at the end. So that's how I'd do that. Hey, Art of Mike Disney, how are you going? I'm doing an AMA. I've got questions come through during the week and I'm answering them for the fans, for the players of Judgment. And and I can't wait for you to get the War Grinder either. Jaeger is shipping, what is it now? Just a month, I think. Yeah, he'll be going soon. That's great. Can't wait. All right, I think that's all the questions that I have got in the AMA. That was great. We almost did an hour of questions. That's fantastic for the first one. I'm going to try to do these fairly regularly. I really appreciate everybody who asked the questions. So I'm going to be... thanks, Mike. Can't wait to catch up again, buddy. I think I'll see you... I will tell Byron you said hello. He talks about you every time we get together. I met Mike at Adepticon. He was my roomie. He's a legend of a man. I had a great time and I can't wait to catch up with him again. Hopefully Adepticon next year, Mike, if you're going. Gen Con, are you there? Oh, super. So I'll see you at Gen Con. All right, awesome. And Mike, my brother's coming to Gen Con too, Jeff, so you get to meet him as well. That'd be great. Awesome. Yeah. Brilliant. Rubicon. I'm not going to Rubicon. No, I don't know that one. I'm going to Gen Con though, so definitely we'll see you there. All right. If there's any other questions, we can... I can't wait either, man. It's going to be awesome. So I'm going to release this as a podcast, just audio. I'm going to release this as a VOD on YouTube. So I'll be doing this again as soon as we get enough questions for another show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Super excited about what's going on with the game at the moment. I should have Shan in my hands within a week, so my next stream will almost certainly have her physically in my hands, and then we'll play a game with her as well. Can't wait for that. She's our first model we're getting manufactured in the States. We've got a new manufacturer trying out. We're very confident and very happy that they've come on board, and hopefully she'll be a raging success and we'll get more models made in the US of A, which is fantastic. I'll reveal more about that little goblin dude soon. Cheers, Mike, and cheers, everybody, for tuning in. That'll be me done, and I will speak to you all soon. Have a good night. Cheers.